Our epistle reading today comes from James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, raised in the house of Mary. Jesus, who blesses those who are poor and hungry and persecuted. Mary, who, upon learning she is pregnant with the promised one, proclaims, "The high and mighty shall come down, and the humble will be raised up." So too does James prioritize the poor and vulnerable in the community. He writes, "God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to inherit the kingdom. But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you?" Before James was at a place to write such a statement, he was among his family members who came to retrieve Jesus because people were saying he has gone out of his mind. Like Jesus' mother and disciples and many of us here, James had to journey before he was able to accept Jesus' teachings. Eventually, James came to believe in the work and witness of his brother who became the Christ. And it is noted that James was the first bishop of Jerusalem. James was renowned and respected for his devotion to God. Eusebius, an ancient Christian historian, writes that James' matted hair hung to his ankles, and both knees had half-inch calluses caused by his great lengths of time in prayer. And despite the reverence for which James was afforded among certain circles, his life ended in much the same way as many of Jesus's closest followers. Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, refers to the stoning of James, the brother of Jesus. And Hegesippus, a Christian writer of the early church, cites that the scribes and Pharisees placed James upon the pinnacle of the temple and threw down the just man, and they began to stone him, for he was not killed by the fall. James is listed among the earliest martyrs in both Fox's Book of Martyrs and the Martyr's Mirror. James has only one epistle in the sacred canon. He has another brother, Jude, who also has a short epistle in the New Testament. So Jesus has two brothers who have written epistles in our Christian Bible. James is writing specifically to the Jewish Christians in the diaspora, that is, those beyond Jerusalem and Palestine. In his epistle, James is calling the early church to practice patient perseverance in the midst of intense suppression and violence, while also providing practical teachings to navigate personal and social relationships in a way that bears witness to Christ's reign. How do we live out our faith in the midst of an empire that is opposed to our very being? Last week, we explored Paul's letter to the Ephesians, particularly the verse fragment, "Be angry, but do not sin." And I shared a personal story about a near bicycle accident where I was almost hit in the early morning and I was very angry. And I wanted to yell and shout at the person who almost cut me off. And then I realized that beneath the anger, beneath this secondary emotion, there were other feelings. And I realized I was probably feeling more afraid in that time. And I did a little emergency self-empathy and made sure that I was fine and cared for the core of my very being. So understanding the complexity of feelings and emotions and anger and sin. And this week, I want us to explore just a bit from James chapter 1, verse 19, where he writes, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." James and Paul's writings are separated only by a few years, maybe a decade. And they're both writing words of comfort and courage to a distraught community. Paul and James' teachings move us deeper to understand how anger and strong feelings are natural. How also there is a potential toward harm to self and others and even our relationship to God if we get stuck in certain patterns and are unable to disrupt those patterns and move through or transform these feelings. It's not easy to do this work of following Jesus. In some ways, as I've been meditating this week, I've realized it's one thing to teach and another thing to practice. In a day where I've been very distracted by many, many things, from a leaky roof to a whole litany of things, and I'm writing about listening, and I can't listen because there's anxiety and stress and things upon me, and here I'm supposed to give a lesson or a teaching on how we are to listen. And so I say this with the caveat that it's a practice. These are spiritual practices and disciplines and exercises. And the first church, Paul and James and all of those who are writing these epistles to these early churches, they understood that Christians are Christians because we struggle and we need a Savior and healing and opportunities to grow and deepen. And so we hope for moments of mindfulness sometimes when there is dysregulation that we might intentionally enter into regulation. Where if we're feeling anxious, we might pause and take a breath. Or maybe just work out some of that energy in our body by doing 10 jumping jacks and exploring ways that we can again get grounded and centered. James calls us to be quick to listen. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. Quick to hold space and make room for others. When we slow down and withhold judgment, which isn't always easy, and we open up space, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit and how the spirit of the humans in these conversations and in these places of communication can actually find ways to connect when we withhold judgment and seek to expand space and make room for more voices. Quick to hold space and make room for others. particularly those with whom we may be in conscious or unconscious conflict with. And through this listening, through this slowness to speak, we have a moment of recognition to sense what we're feeling. Our anger, our other complex feelings, our allowed space to breathe, and we're able to move through. Jesus tells us anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So we should really be engaged in this exercise of holy listening, of holding space without judgment and really hearing what the other person is seeking to communicate. Even if it's not communicated perfectly or very effectively, the role of the listener is to help the speaker to make sense of what they're saying, to bring walls down so that there can be connection and resonance. Oscar Trimboli is an Australian communicator in the field of listening. He's an expert coach to help people develop their listening skills. I've listened to most of his podcasts, and I've joined him in his virtual listening gymnasium. And I've even partnered with him to develop a special video teaching for the vocational clients at the Bowery Mission. And he has a podcast called Deep Listening. And his goal is to make 100 million deep listeners. So as an evangelist for his work, I encourage you to find this podcast and listen to the conversations he has with others. And Oscar details five levels of listening. Often we think that we begin to listen by focusing on the other person. But Oscar breaks it down and says that the first level is to listen to ourselves. What's happening within ourselves? What are we feeling? What are we bringing to this conversation in our body? He writes that without truly connecting and listening to what's going on inside our own head, we're unable to be fully present with others. And once we've listened to ourselves, we're able to move to the second level, which is to listen to the content. This means noticing the alignment between what someone is saying and how they're saying it. It's the connection you notice between the head and the heart and the gut. And is there coherence? Listening to the words that they're actually speaking. The third level is listening to the context, listening for patterns in the dialogue, listening for what the speaker is consistently referencing, and exploring the patterns in their words and understanding their backstory, as well as the backstory to the conversation. To listen to the context, there must also be a desire to know the pretext with which we're bringing ourselves to the conversation. The fourth level is listening to the unsaid. This is the simplest way to close the gap in conversation is through exploration, asking questions about what are you really hoping to convey? What are you thinking? Listening for what they may have not said yet. And finally, level five is listening for the meaning. What is the meaning beneath the word? What is the person actually trying to communicate? This is what we're called to enter into. I had an opportunity to see this unfold down on the Bowery last week. a woman who has been homeless for a good number of years, young, maybe 30, from New Jersey, nice family, just got caught up in some unhealthy patterns. And she met a man who all of us on the Bowery know as well, and she ended up getting pregnant, and she wasn't able to keep the baby, and she is having a lot of these struggles. And one morning, early morning, down on the Bowery, it's probably about 6:30 or 6:45, and I like to get down there early some mornings, and I see her at the door, and she's talking with one of the operations team, saying, "I need a hoodie. I need a hoodie. Your job is to give me a hoodie, and it's cold out here. Why won't you give me a hoodie?" And the person's getting very upset and saying, "You need to know how to ask in the right way. Why would you talk to me in this way?" Kind of with such aggression, in a sense. And not everyone is trained in these things. 10 years ago on the Bowery, I know I said a bunch of stuff, and 10 years from now, I'll probably look back and be like, how could I have said that or acted in that way? But 10 years on in my own journey, through experience of certain things, I have the gift of being able to see things in different ways, especially serving around spiritual formation on the Bowery. It's very intentional. And so the operations person went inside, and I asked, I said, what do you need? What do you need? And she says, "I need a hoodie." And she kept yelling about the hoodie. But then she also briefly mentioned that she got kicked out of her shelter last night. So she'd been walking outside all night. And it was a shelter where her abuser was able to stay, and she was put out, probably because she was escalating verbally, maybe not physically, but verbally, and she was put out. And so she's been going through all of these things. And in the morning, because operations team has so much work to do, donations coming in, trucks and all of that, they don't always have the capacity to open up space for understanding. And I realized that that's all she needed was to be understood and cared for in that moment, just so that someone could be there and just say, "That sucks. That really is miserable." And so as I talked to her, she forgot about the hoodie, and I forgot about the hoodie. But there was a moment of connection. So how do we listen to each other? How do we forgive ourselves when we fall short? Because we all fall short, and we need to practice self-empathy when we do that. So James tells us, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amen.